pray. Amen. So throughout the history of the people of God, throughout the history of the church, there has been no shortage of problems. We're all aware of that. You just have to know a little bit about church history or even modern churches today that to know that churches have people in them that are sinners. Therefore, there are going to be problems within churches. And there are going to be problems from within, there are going to be problems from without, and they have always existed and they will always exist until Jesus comes back. But while some problems change over the course of time, some problems ebb and flow with changes in the world, there are certain problems among us that never go away entirely. One of those problems, and one of those problems that has a long lifespan, is the existence of people who claim to be disciples of Jesus, but really aren't disciples of Jesus. The existence of people who say they have faith, but don't. It's easy to claim to follow Jesus, isn't it? It doesn't take a lot of energy to say that. I follow Jesus. I am a Christian. I believe in God. It doesn't take a lot of work. It doesn't take a lot of proof to merely say you're a Christian, but the warning lies for us in the realization that you can claim to have faith, but then not really have it. Now, this is not meant to be an echo of the cliche saying that the church is full of hypocrites. Not trying to echo that. Every Christian, every single Christian lives out their faith imperfectly. It's not what I'm addressing here. What I'm pointing out is that there's a difference between living out your faith imperfectly and not living out your faith at all. There's a difference between true faith and false faith. This is the difference that James is drawing our attention to in James chapter 2. So go ahead and turn with me to James chapter 2 if you want to follow along in one of those blue Bibles in front of you. It's on page 1012. James chapter 2. Last week, we looked at the first half of the chapter. This week, we're going to start in James chapter 2, verse 14, and finish out the chapter together. But as we look at this second half, I'm going to read through it here in just a second. But as we look through it, you're going to see two words repeated a lot. Two words. Faith and works. Faith and works repeated over and over and over. And in these verses, James is not contrasting faith with works. He's contrasting true faith with false faith. And we're going to see symptoms of false faith as well as evidence of what true faith is. So James chapter 2, let's look together at verse 14. James 2, 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. The main point that I think James is trying to drive home for us today is that true faith is visible, false faith is invisible. That is not a profound statement. There's nothing amazing about those words. But it is a truth that you and I need to receive and think on and evaluate ourselves with. True faith is visible. False faith is invisible. And the first way James teaches us this is by showing us that true faith is more than good words. True faith is more than good words. So he starts out by posing a question to us. Look again at verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? What good is it? How is it helpful? How is it beneficial? What does it profit if someone says he has faith? So James isn't saying this person has faith, but rather that this person claims to have faith, but they don't have any works that match that faith. Those are the two words I said we would see repeated over and over. Faith and works. Faith and works. So let's make sure, if we're going to see them a lot, let's make sure we understand what they mean. The word faith can be a hard word to define. It's used all over the place in our culture. Not just in churches. It pops up in songs, and it shows up in movies, and on bumper stickers, and in politics, and in media. The word faith is used a lot, and so it can carry this kind of generic, vague meaning. But when you see it in the New Testament, the word faith is the nickname, especially here in James, the nickname for knowing, trusting, following, and submitting to Jesus. For knowing, trusting, following, and submitting to Him as our King and as our Savior. So that's faith, but what about works? Works are actions. They are visible acts of obeying God and His Word. If faith is knowing, trusting, following, and submitting to Jesus, works are showing that you're knowing and trusting and following and submitting to Jesus. And James is saying, what good is it if a person says that they know and trust Jesus, but they don't submit to and obey Jesus? Then he hits us with another question, a heavier question at the end of verse 14. Can that faith save him? Can that faith, the faith that doesn't have works, can that faith save him? It's an extremely important question. This is the difference between false faith and true faith. If we don't get this right, everything else is going to be off. Can a trust in Jesus that doesn't show up in obedience to Jesus save a person? Is that kind of person truly made right with God? Is that kind of person really going to heaven when they die? Now, James is asking these rhetorical questions in a way to lead us to know that the answer is no. What good is it, my brothers, if someone has faith but does not have works? It's not good. Why? Can that faith save him? No, that's why it's not good. That's the connection, good and save. The purpose of trusting in Jesus is to save us from what our sins deserve, to trust him to do something we can't do for ourselves. So a faith that doesn't save is a faith that's no good. And he's adding to that by showing us that a faith that doesn't act is a faith that doesn't save. It's a false faith. Then he illustrates it. So it's so helpful when you go through the book of James. You don't have to come up with illustrations. He provides them over and over and over again. And he shows one in verse 15. Verse 15, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So he's saying, if a fellow Christian comes to you and they're cold and hungry and you say, brother or sister, I'm praying for you and I hope that God provides for you everything that you need. But you don't give them anything that they need. What good is that? What's the point of your words? He uses the same phrase again. What good is it? Words don't feed people. Words don't clothe people. Actions do. Well wishes without actions are just empty, meaningless sounds. That's not real, practical love. Cliche phrases don't provide for people. Words alone are useless in the face of real physical need. And James says that's what faith without works is like. Because he ends in verse 17 by saying, so also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And we're going to come back to this more at the very end of the chapter. He's going to repeat that phrase again. But to claim to know Jesus, but not obey Jesus, is just as empty as telling someone, be warmed and filled, and not give them clothes or food. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, John writes, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. A faith that exists in word only is a counterfeit faith. True faith is more than just good words. True faith is more than just speaking Christian cliche things. It's easy to say that you're a Christian. And you may even feel like saying you're a Christian does something for you, but God's word says that it accomplishes nothing if it's just words. No matter how biblical your words sound. One author said, to love saying that I'm a Christian is not proof that I am one. It has to be more than just words. True faith is more than good words. Secondly, the thing that James is going to bring before us is true faith is more than good theology. True faith is more than good theology. But theology, I mean what we believe, the truths we believe, the doctrine that the Bible teaches us about God and about the world and about ourselves. True faith is more than good theology. Let's pick up in verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. So James is anticipating some pushback that he might get in response to what he's saying. You have faith and I have works. James knows that some people think it's possible to separate faith and works. You can have faith or you can have works, but you don't have to have them both. James says, show me your faith apart from your works and I'll show you my faith by my works. James says, okay, show me. Don't just tell me, show me. Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. The two go together. You can't separate them. Faith without works is useless, and works without faith are useless. They go together. And then he anticipates the next response. He says in verse 19, you believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. True faith is more than good theology. James knows that a person will say, but I believe that God is one. But I believe in God, but I believe in Jesus, but I believe that he died on the cross. Now, to be sure, to believe that God is one is no small thing. That is the starting point of Christian theology. That God, there is one God, and he is one. It's a foundation to have a right understanding of who God is. I mean, it comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and even Jesus himself quotes it when asking to summarize the law. It is a core belief of Christianity, of our faith. And to believe it is good and right, James says you do well if you believe that. True faith is impossible without knowing truth. We have to know and believe the truth, but true faith is more than just knowing truth. James says, even the demons believe and shudder. The devil and his demons know there's only one God. They know he's powerful. They know he is mighty. And they are affected by what they know. They shudder. They tremble. You can see their belief. James is warning us here not to settle for a version of faith that lowers the bar to something the devil himself can reach. True faith is more than good theology. True faith is more than right beliefs. A.W. Tozer said, the devil is a better theologian than any of us and is a devil still. You can know the truth and study the truth and sing the truth and memorize the truth and speak the truth and not truly know the God of truth and not live your life based on that truth. There's a difference between just mentally agreeing with the truth about Jesus and fully embracing Him as your King and as your Savior. I said this last week, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. Right belief is crucial. Good theology is vital, but it can't stop at the just knowledge level. If it stops at just facts in our heads and doesn't come out in our lives, then we don't really believe what we say we believe because we live what we really believe. We don't want to be people who sit around feeling good about ourselves because we have good theology. That's like a person who feels good about themselves because they eat healthy, but all they do is chew up fruit and chew up vegetables and spit it out. For the health of those things to benefit you, it has to get inside of you. It has to make a difference. And in the same way, we want to learn and study and sing and memorize and talk about truth with the goal of it growing deep roots in our hearts and deep roots in our minds and coming out in every area of our lives. If we're just trying to fill up our brains, we're missing the point. True faith is more than good words. True faith is more than good theology. It's not less than those things, but it's more than those things. Lastly, true faith is proven by good works. This is what James has been building to this whole time. True faith is proven by good works. He's shown us what true faith is not. Now starts building a picture of what it is. Look with me at verse 20. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? So he's been building up to this point that you can't have true faith and not have works. And now he's saying, do you want me to show this to you? Do you want me to prove this to you? And what he's going to do is he's going to reach back in the Old Testament and pull out two examples from the Old Testament for us. And these are not random examples. I think James is very purposefully picking these two examples to show what real faith is, to show why saving faith is a faith that is lived out. The first example he gives is Abraham. Look at verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. In that short little section, James highlights two different stories from Abraham's life. He highlights a story from Genesis 22. Then he highlights a story from Genesis 15. The first story from Genesis 22 is about the time when the Lord called Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And the second one from Genesis 15 is when Abraham believed God's promise to him that he was going to make him into a great nation. Notice James brings them up in reverse order. Notice that he brings up the one from Genesis 22 first and the one from Genesis 15 second. James is not confused. He's doing this purposefully. We may think, well, it'd make more sense to switch them around the other way. Beware of thinking that you can make something more clear than the Holy Spirit does. He is doing this very purposefully, and I want to show you. In verse 22, James writes that when Abraham offered up his son, he says his faith was active along with his works. Abraham's obedience was connected to his faith. God's command for him to sacrifice his son made no sense from a human's perspective. No sense. Part of God's promise to Abraham, like I mentioned, was that God would make him and his family into a great nation. A father of nations. But that's not possible if his son dies. So faith was necessary here. Abraham had to trust the Lord. Trusting God's plan was necessary for Abraham to be obedient in this situation. Now God ended up providing a ram to sacrifice in Isaac's place, but James says that in Abraham's willingness to obey, his faith was completed by his works. Abraham's willingness to obey proved that he really trusted God. This explains what James means in verse 23 when he says, and the scripture was fulfilled. This is the one from Genesis 15 that says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham's obedience in Genesis 22 proves the genuineness of his faith from Genesis 15. That's why they're in the order that they're in here. The faith in God that declared Abraham righteous before God resulted in righteous acts of obedience later in his life. And this action that Abraham takes is only one a person of true faith would take because of what God was calling him to do. So I want to jump to the next example and then come back and connect the conclusion that James is making. The first example was Abraham. The second example is Rahab. Look at verse 25. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? This story comes from Joshua chapter 2. Spies were sent from Israel to the city of Jericho, and the ruler of Jericho finds out about them and he's after them. And Rahab takes them in, she hides them, she protects them, and she helps them escape the danger. And Rahab doesn't just give them good words. She doesn't just say, hey, hope you guys stay safe. Hope you make it back okay. And she doesn't just tout her good theology, although at this point you can go back and look at chapter 2 of Joshua. Rahab has good theology. She's heard about the Lord. She's heard about what he's done. No, she trusts the Lord, the one true God, and she shows that through her actions. She lives out what she knows to be true, and she risks her life to do it. Abraham and Rahab. You could not pick two more different examples from the Old Testament. You have one who is this Jewish man and another who is a Gentile woman. One who is rich, the other who is poor. One who is the father of God's people, the other who is a prostitute. But both illustrate the same point. That faith, true faith, is proven by good works, and anyone that has faith like that will line up with what James is saying here. And this is why James says what he says in verse 24. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. You see the word justified there. He used that when he talked about Abraham. He used that when he talked about Rahab. He says in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works? And in verse 25, in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works? And he brings it up again in 24 that I just read. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Justified, when a person is justified, it means that they are declared not guilty, but righteous before God. Just like it said from Genesis chapter 15, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. He was justified. He was made right with God. Faith in Jesus means all your disobedience has been wiped away through Jesus' death, and your record now shows Jesus' obedience in your place. So is James saying in verse 24, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Is he saying that a person is made right with God by having faith and doing good things? So I can't fully be a Christian until I do enough good things? Is that what James is trying to say? When we come to verses like this that can be confusing and can be iffy, we have to remember to take them in light of what the whole Bible teaches. And there's a number of places we could look at. But even in the passage that's guiding us this morning, we see the truth of what the whole Bible teaches from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But James says, you see that a person is justified by works. And Paul just said, not by works. What's going on here? Well, pay close attention. There's a lot of different ways we could bring things together to unpack this, but just for the sake of time or for the sake of clarity, let me just point out to you what I think James is communicating. Pay close attention to what he says. Verse 24 again. Notice how I read this. You see that a person is justified by their works and not by faith alone. You see. You physically see that a person is justified by their works. He's not using "you see" in the way we kind of use it as this throwaway phrase. Well, you see, it's this and this and this. No, you see a person is justified. James' concern here is not to explain to us how someone is justified. His concern here is to teach us how you can tell someone is justified before God. Not how a person becomes a Christian, but how you know someone is a Christian. Doing good works before God saves you and doing good works after God saves you are two different lifestyles. Good works are not what earn us salvation, but they are essential evidence of true faith in Jesus, of true salvation. We've been working through our church's statement of faith this year, and there's a one short, dense sentence about good works in our statement of faith. We think it's that essential to understand this, and it says this from our statement of faith. We believe that good works are the fruits of faith and follow after justification. So good works are not the root of faith, they're the fruit of faith, and they follow after you've been made right with God, after you've been declared not guilty because Jesus died for you, and you've been declared righteous because his obedience was given to you by faith. After justification. Another way to say this is when you trust God, you will obey God. And if you obey God because you don't trust God, then you don't know God. Because you're trying to earn something that he has offered you for free. Trust equals obedience. This is something you will see multiple times coming up in this season we're stepping into at a pool. Think about it this way. You have a parent and their little child at a pool. And the parent is trying to encourage their child to go to maybe an area of the pool that they're a little unsure of. Maybe a little too deep for them. The parent's standing up in the pool. The kid's standing on the side of the pool. What does the parent say to the kid? Jump, I'll catch you. Jump, I'll catch you. Maybe some parents like finding weird pleasure out of their kids struggling. Maybe they don't say, I'll catch you. Maybe they just tell them to jump. I don't know. I don't know what kind of parent you are. But most parents, jump, I'll catch you. Trust me, I'll catch you. When that child jumps into the pool, they're obeying the parent's instruction because they trust the parent to catch them. Their obedience comes out of their trust for their mom or dad. In the same way, when we truly trust our Heavenly Father, we will obey him just like Abraham does when it doesn't make sense. And we will obey him just like Rahab did when it's risky. Faith always brings out works. When Jesus saves you, he changes you. He transforms you. New birth equals new life, new lifestyle, new way of living. This happens for us individually, but this is also true for us as a church. We have 2 weeks coming up in the life of our church called LaGrange Missions and Vacation Bible School. We don't do those things just to do them. Even events like that, they are so much fun and they are so exhausting and they are amazing weeks. But the reason we do them is because we trust the Lord and he's called us to spread his gospel in this community. So we do weeks like that. Those works come out of our faith. And as we serve in those weeks, those works come out of our faith. And as we gather here together, this is a good work that comes out of our faith. Pastor Sinclair Ferguson summarized it all by saying this: the person who is counted as righteous through faith will do what is righteous. If God counts you as righteous through faith in Jesus, if you are justified, you will do what is righteous. You will do what is just in your life. And that's why James ends by echoing what he said in verse 17. He says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. True faith is visible. False faith is invisible. True faith is active. False faith is inactive. Verses like this call us to examine ourselves. As we saw earlier in the book of James, the word of God is meant to be a mirror for us, and this passage is meant to be a mirror for us. James wants to expose false faith where it exists, because false faith doesn't save. And he wants to replace it with true faith. But when I say we need to evaluate ourselves, there's different responses that happen in this room in light of that. Some of you have a very sensitive and tender conscience, and you are always assuming you're doing the wrong thing. You're always assuming that you're not the real deal, that you're not who people think you are. I'm not trying to stir up doubts in you where they don't need to happen. Don't carry a false guilt or unnecessary doubt from this passage. Others of you, when someone says, we need to evaluate ourselves, and we look at verses like this, you think for a minute, assume you're fine, and then move on. We all need, wherever category you fit in, or wherever on the spectrum you fall, we all need the Lord to show us the true state of our faith. We all need the Lord to show us where we need to grow. So are you living out a faith that is the fruit of true faith in Jesus? Are you living out a life that is the fruit of true faith in Jesus? How does your faith show up at home? How does your faith show up at work or at school? How does your faith show up in the things that you do here at church or in the reasons why you come to church? How does your faith show up in your friendships? How does your faith show up in just your general life in our community? Things that you're involved with or things that you do. What good works in your life can only be explained by faith in Jesus. That's the only reason a person would ever do that. That was true for Abraham. That was true for Rahab. The only reason they would ever do what they did is because they had faith in God. What are the things in your life that could only be explained by faith in Christ? Are you hiding a false faith behind good words? Are you hiding a false faith behind good theology? Do you do good works so that God will save you, or do you do good works because God has saved you? Let's turn away from false, empty claims of faith and be a community of true faith, a community that trusts Jesus and walks in the good works that he has given us to do.